overcast and rainy and everything else outside, but man, no matter what happens, no matter what the weather's like, God is good.
All the time.
He really is good. Hey, look around, give somebody a wave, a smile that says, I really am glad to see you. Don't frown at anybody. We don't want to scare anybody away. Let the choir know how much you appreciate them since, you know, y'all sitting there staring at them. They get to stare right back at you. But we're glad to have them in place as well. If you're part of our online audience, please say good morning to our very own Dr. John Cazito. He monitors along the way, does one of the most fantastic jobs I have ever seen in putting information there for folks, not only that are watching live, but folks that come back and watch the replay, your scriptures and everything. You don't even need to have your Bible. John puts all that in there as well as his own personal thought, and we certainly do appreciate all that he does to make our online audience feel a part of Central Baptist Church, and we're so glad that you are joining us today. One of the things that I have actually been wanting to do is to give you guys some ideas on the way our trip went, what your finances towards our Cuba mission trip was like, to try to give you that view inside. I was in contact with them last night, and as of last night, I got a message this morning as well, but this morning when the power came back on, they had been 36 hours without power. And once again, you think about the hardship that that creates, particularly for the senior center, because they're actually having to prepare food over an open fire. That's, I mean, it's just like primitive camping more often than not, at least at this particular point in time. And it doesn't appear that there's an end in sight to the power situation that is there. What I want to do, like I said, I did this, I mentioned it last week, but this week and over the next couple weeks, just for a few moments in the, this particular greeting time, I want to actually show you some of the pictures, give you an insight into it. Go ahead and give me picture one there, Travis, if you would. If you'll see there in the floor, there is a pile of stuff. So if you were part of the ladies group that put together the markers, the pencils, the different things for the children's school, this is at the church at Ducaro. And these are the supplies that we left for them. I actually have some pictures now where you see the kids using these supplies in the school, and I'll try to get one of those up before too awful long. But this is where we had an opportunity after the Sunday service to meet with the pastor, his wife, and the administrator to share with them the supplies that you guys so gracefully, graciously, and prayerfully put together for these children to be able to use. So I'm gonna try to show you one of those pictures a little bit later. Give me the next slide there, Travis. This is the outside of the church at Ducaro. That is the one that we support the children's ministry. They have roughly 40 children there that they have to give a snack twice a day as well as a lunch meal. And this is very problematic, particularly in the land where food is very, very short, very, very difficult to come by. That is another one of the ministries that you supported with approximately enough funding for them, if they can find it, to purchase in the neighborhood of 6 months' worth of food for the children. But that is the church at Ducaro. Go ahead and give me the next one there, Travis. This is Lacey Terry. This is the Awana missionary that we have supported pretty much almost for two decades. Awana International was never able to get his money, as far as his paycheck, as it were, into the country. There's an interesting story with Lacey Terry as well. We met him back years and years ago on one of our trips, and he is actually the Awana missionary for the whole eastern part of Cuba, but he was having trouble being able to get into churches, to get an ear and to be able to present what the Awana program was like, mainly because the Baptists over there are very, I don't want to use the word clannish, but I'm going to. they're very leery of anything that is outside of who they are. But with our relationship with the Eastern Baptist Convention and our relationship with Awana over the years, we had the opportunity to sit down with the president of the convention, and we brought Lacey Terry with us, and we introduced him to the president of the convention, and we essentially vouched for the fact that Awana is a good program. And then We challenged them to allow Lacey into a church to work with an Awana program, and we actually chose one of the churches that the administrator was a part of the team of the Eastern Convention. And they started, that was the group, they started, they had 16 kids. And when we went back the next year, they had several hundred children at this particular church, and they had started another Awana program out of that church in like an apartment complex, and there were several other children there that were hearing the gospel, all that within 1 year. So at that point, they became open to Lacey Terry being able to promote and establish Awana through the churches in the Eastern Convention. So you all pay every bit of that man's annual salary. We carried that with us. So in tying them with the convention, we go to the convention and we fund his salary. So therefore, he draws a paycheck from the Eastern Baptist Convention of Cuba, but it is funded by what you give right here. So that's where our budget type funding lands. But a great guy. He's a guy that goes out and roughly about 80 churches per year he will get into and work on getting Awana program started, and very, very successful. So I wanted you to be able to put a face with a name. That is Lacey. Yep, and I'm saying that right. That's not my country drawl. L-A-I-C-Y. Lacey Terry, and he is your Awana missionary to the eastern part of Cuba. I think I got one more to show you before we start our service. This is the pastor's wife of the 26th Baptist Church, which was one of the first churches that we went to visit. And before her is one of the bags that, once again, the ladies made up to present to pastors, and a gift for the pastor's wife. Now, every year when we're there, it is pastor appreciation. So what we did this time was we actually took some Spanish Bibles, Spanish study Bibles, to be able to present to the pastor as an appreciation gift. And the ladies actually made up these little packages that had some different things for the home, had some spices, which they don't have. And what you see her holding open right there is actually a sewing kit. And you can just see the smile on her face, how just so happy she is. The little girl right there is the one that was going to be having a birthday. And that's the one that I said before, you know, the pastor had been just praying to be able to give her a good birthday party. So the Lord said, don't you give church money for that, but you open your wallet for that and make sure she has a good birthday party. So at any rate, that is the pastor's wife and daughter from the 26th Baptist Church, which we also supported a project that they are doing there. They are putting a roof over their worship area. So anyway, continue to pray for them. But these are just a way to put some faces and some names along with the work that we did while we were there in 1 week, representing, first of all, our Lord and Savior, but also representing Central Baptist Church. You would not believe the incredible amount of work that is done because of what you guys have given. It is truly the gift that keeps on giving. There will be many, many folks who will come to know the Lord because of the support. Once again, our idea over there is to support the nationals. Nobody can reach the people of Cuba like the people of Cuba. So we try to help them as best we can to be able to be very supportive of the work that they do and the way that they get the gospel out. They're some hardworking folks. I think that's all I got, isn't it, Travis? Okay, good deal. I only wanted to throw a few in there just as we begin our services, just to kind of show you a little bit, and I'll show you a few more of those next week, once again, to give you the idea of where your support has gone, or should I say the Lord's support. But it always just warms the heart to be able to see how much God does with so little. Let me pray for us, and then we'll begin our service today. Father, as we come to you again, we're grateful and thankful for this opportunity to be able to gather together. Now, Lord, as we come together, we pray that you will help us to clear our hearts and minds that we might truly hear from you this very day. Lord, there's no accident that this group is here today. There's a reason that you brought us here, and your Holy Spirit is alive and well and speaks to each and every one of us. So may we prepare our hearts, Lord, today as we worship in song, as we come to you in prayer. Father, through our giving, may each and everything that we do truly be an act of worship that honors you. So, Lord, right now, we just pray that you will bless our time and speak to our hearts as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning.
Please stand with me as we sing 395, God of Grace and God of Glory.
Oh,
We sing How Great Thou Art, number 10.
Listen, today there are going to be pastors all over the United States and the world for that matter that are going to be preaching out of a particular book, out of a particular chapter, and out of a particular verse. And can anybody tell me what the date of today is? Nobody. Okay, good. Good. It's March 16th. If you give that to me in numbers, what is it? 316. Anybody know of a well-known biblical passage that incorporates 316 on 316? Good, you got it right. Turn in your Bibles with me this morning, if you would, to John's Gospel in chapter 3. And we're going to look at a couple of verses. I believe with all of my heart that this is one of the verses that encapsulates everything that each and every person ever born need to know about salvation, how to be able to have a relationship and a walk with a holy God. And I think that there are times that we need to revisit this particular passage, even though we know it. That was probably one of the very first passages of Scripture that you ever learned, whether it was in Sunday school or Bible school or somewhere along the way. You've learned this passage. You can quote it by heart. But how often do we go back to it? Now, I also want to remind you that this also tells us so much about the character of God Almighty Himself. Now, look with me, if you would, at our passage this morning. And I'm actually going to use two verses. I'm going to use verse 16 as well as verse 17. John chapter 3, beginning with verse 16, says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Would you pray with me? Father, as we come to You today, we're grateful and thankful for the many blessings that You bestow upon us. But Father, most of all, we're thankful for Jesus. We're thankful for salvation. Father, we are thankful for eternal life that comes only through the death, burial, and resurrection of Your only begotten Son. Father, today I pray that we will have an understanding as the Holy Spirit speaks to us about how much You love us. Lord, I also pray that You will help us to understand that we are in a sinful state and in a sinful nature from birth, and that the only thing that's going to deliver us from the pits of hell is to trust in Your Son. Lord, today I pray that for these next few moments You would use me as Your messenger. Speak through me, Lord. May Your word speak very loudly. It doesn't need me. It doesn't need help. But Lord, Your word truly is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So Lord, may it pierce our hearts today, and may it draw us close to You. Father, as always, we pray that if there's one within the sound of my voice that does not know You as Lord and Savior, that today would be the day they would give their life to You and have a fresh start. So Lord, bless our time as only You can, as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we look at these particular passages, they're chock full of so much theology. Now, I want to tell you that right out of the gate, there are so many falsities about salvation. There are things that are going around today, even in churches, that are being preached even as we speak today about certain things about salvation being for certain groups and not for other groups. And I believe and contend that the Bible clearly contradicts that. You know, I've often said that knowing why you believe what you believe is of paramount importance. You've heard me say it many, many times. Don't ever say with somebody that you are having a scriptural conversation with that I believe this because the pastor said it. You need to say, I believe it because John 3:16 said it, okay? Because I am nobody when it comes down to the theological realm, but the Word of God is everything. So what does John 3:16 say about God's motivation for sending His Son to this planet? Why did all of that happen? It says, here's why, because God so loved the world. See, God's motivation, it's framed by His immense love that He has for His creation. And here's something that's also very important for us to understand. This is not a conditional love, but rather an unconditional love, and it is inclusive to the whole world. And that doesn't mean just right here in our backyard. It means all across the world. It is inclusive. Think about it for a moment. What about the depth of God's love? Have you ever thought about that? You know, when we get down to it and we talk about it, nobody likes to talk about this. This is rough in our society today based on what people want to know, see, feel, and believe. But each and every one of us are born sinners, and the Bible tells us that, doesn't it? It says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. That's me. That's you. That's everybody. So essentially, we are on our way to this place called hell from the time that we are born. And the only thing that is going to change that is a relationship. Something or someone had to pay the debt so that you and I could be free. And God knew and understood that, and therefore sent His only begotten Son that you and I might have eternal life. Now, I want to tell you today that it's not about just telling everybody how wonderful they are. Now, I think all of y'all are wonderful, but you're all sinners, and so am I. I think that too often what happens is we get to the point where we see somebody who's not doing as good as we are, and we tend to be able to stand or want to stand in judgment along the way. But all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Do we spend time in prayer thanking God for his love? You know what? It's kind of interesting that when you go back and you look at how Jesus taught the disciples to pray, and he said, pray like this: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed is not that hollowed out tree that Ernie Keebler lived in. Hallowed means holy. Holy is your name. Do we go to the Lord every day and say, Lord, listen, I want to thank you today for the fact that I can come into your presence in prayer through Jesus Christ? Do we sit back and say, thank you, Lord, that you paid the debt? We sing a hymn, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white. Have we forgotten that? Have we forgotten that in our society today? And some of us know that. Some of us are old-timey. Amen? We creak a little more than we used to. But we remember those days. We remember what it was like when it was a big deal that sin had left a crimson stain and that Jesus had washed it white as snow. I think we need to go back and remember those things. So what was the purpose of Jesus being sent to the world according to John chapter 3, verse 16? It tells us right in the verse that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now I'm going to say something that's probably going to be controversial. There's a theology that goes back, that goes around, and it's steeped in a lot of churches that said, basically, salvation is not for everyone. It's for a chosen few. Well, I believe that this verse right here tells you who it's for. It is for whosoever will. Plain and simple. I've sat with people, I've heard the conversations, and I will tell you that right now, for the Lord to have said that some people are born on this earth to have the option and the opportunity to go to heaven and others are not, defies the very character and nature of God, particularly according to this verse. And I sit back and I think to myself, last time I checked, the word of God, as I read it, says he would that none should perish. None. Not just this crew over here, not just this crew over here, but he would that none should perish, but that all should have everlasting life through his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. Man, look at that verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that, what's that next word? Whoever or whosoever, depending on what translation you're looking at, it says the same thing. Whoever, whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And when we talk about not perishing, we're not talking about physical death. We are talking about spiritual death. Remember, the word tells us it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. As born-again believers, we die one time. We die a physical death. But boy, I'm going to tell you one thing. Life becomes good in the presence of the Father after that. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But you see, for those that are lost, they die twice. They die physically and go to the grave, and they die spiritually and go to hell. Oh, we can't use that word, preacher. That offends people. People want you to fluff and stuff them. That's what it is today. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of churches that do that. Listen, I love you, but I'm not going to love you into hell. I'm not going to do it. Not going to happen that way. We all mess up. We are all sinners. We all make mistakes. We will let each other down. We will let God down. But thanks be to the Father that through the Son, there's forgiveness through repentance. And there's restoration. Whoever, whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You see, Jesus was sent to offer salvation and eternal life, focusing on belief in him as the pathway to our promise that we have. So we look at another question. Now this goes down. This is why I wanted to include John 3:17 in here as well, because it also speaks to John 3:16. What is it that John 3:17 says? It says, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Have you ever really thought about that and picked that verse apart? Think about it for a minute. In other words, you know what God's saying? He's saying, "I didn't send my son there so that the whole world could be condemned, but I sent my son to die on that cross and to resurrect that the whole world might be saved." That's what he said. God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus' primary mission was not judgment, but salvation. Did you get that? That was his primary mission. Salvation, not judgment. But now don't get me wrong, God is still a God of judgment. God is a disciplinarian. And a lot of people don't like that. Again, maybe controversial, but I grew up having the Board of Education applied to the seat of my learning, as you've heard me say many, many times. Yes, I get it that there are ways to discipline, but I'm going to tell you one thing. When you look at the way God disciplines, bottom line is this: he'll warn you, and he'll warn you, and he'll warn you, but there comes a time when even the patience of God runs out and judgment and wrath follow. Happened. Look at Israel. We see that over and over with the situation of Israel and his chosen people. But understand this: the primary mission of sending Jesus Christ to this earth was for the redemption of man rather than the condemnation. Look at it again. God didn't send his son into the world that the world would be condemned, but that the world through him might be saved. Do you get that? That's huge. Do we practice extending grace that's been extended to us, to other people, to someone who we might typically judge? Do we sit back and pray for them? Do we view other people in the same eyes that Jesus views them? You know, one of the passages that I had read my whole life growing up and everything in the past, but, you know, here over several years ago, it dawned on me that there was a statement that was being made. If you remember, there was a worship service that was taking place in the New Testament, and they had gone to one of the brethren's homes, and they were there. If you know the history, it was packed. I mean, Jesus always packed the house, and people were listening to him. They were outside the windows and whatnot, and a lady came in, if you remember, and she anointed the feet of Jesus, and then there was judgment that started to happen. Remember that? Oh, she's taking that oil and she's anointing him with oil. That could have been sold and the money and the proceeds used to feed the needy. That's a good cause, isn't it? Sure it is. But yet that wasn't the point. The point is that there was judgment that was taking place over her because she had previously been a lady of the evening. Y'all picking up what I'm putting down? But she understood the depth of forgiveness. She understood the gravity of what Jesus did for her. She understood what was going to take place. And Jesus says to them, he said this very interesting thing. You ready for it? Big, deep theological sentence. Buckle up. Do you see this woman? Now, y'all are sitting there going, and? Where's the rest of it? You see, there is no and. I think the problem is too many times we overlook the people that Jesus is sending us to. We have to understand that Jesus is going to send us to people who are broken. There was a missionary in Cuba that was talking about that. He's the church planter. You'll see a picture of him in the next week or so. But he had a plate. Like I said, they don't have nothing over there. But he had a plate, a little styrofoam plate, and he had a bunch of little hearts that he'd made out of something. I don't know if it was Play-Doh or clay or whatever it was. And some of the hearts were broken. And over on one side, he had those broken hearts. And he was explaining to us, he said, "Mine and my wife's job is to go into these places and find the brokenhearted and find the broken and introduce them to Jesus so that they come to the other side where the heart is restored. I thought, how simple, how simplistic is something like that? When we sit back and when we think about what it is that God has done for us. So what does this passage reveal about the character of God? Remember what I said a minute ago? I said, I don't believe that it is God's character that any single living, breathing person spend an eternity in hell. I don't believe that. That defies the very character of God. You see, God's actions are driven out of love and a desire to save rather than condemn. And that's why John 3:17 is just as important as a connector to John 3:16. Y'all following me? You understand what's going on there? See, these verses reveal a God who is loving, a God who is compassionate and focused on redemption. This challenges the perception of God as merely a judge. You see, I think there's two different schools of thought today. There are some that think God is just that judge, and he's got this rod, and he's going to run around, and he just wants to beat us when we do wrong. That's the wrong vision of God. And then there's this other thought that I can just do whatever I want to because God's going to be a forgiving God. That is the wrong view of God as well. As his children, we should try to represent him well according to his word. So how does this understanding of God's character affect the way that you trust him, particularly when it comes to difficult situations? Do you trust God to get you through those difficult situations? Has God put you in circumstances and situations that you could do absolutely nothing about so that he might be able to do some pretty cool and incredible things in your life? See, God's love is the driving force behind the mission of Jesus, focusing on the salvation and eternal life rather than condemnation. That's not what he wants to do. And by the way, he doesn't do that. Man, I can't tell you how much people come to me and say, how would a loving God send someone to that place called hell? I said, God doesn't send anyone to hell. You choose it. Now, are you hearing? I'm putting this as plain and simple as I possibly can. That is your choice. Today, a choice is before you. It is either heaven or hell, and you are on your way to one of the other of those two places, period. You sit back and say, well, I'm just not going to make a choice. You just made a choice. Not making a choice is a choice. Well, you know, I'm going to do that later on. Later on may never come. You know, it seems to me like the older I get, the more people I have on the other side of glory than I have on this side of glory. As I was thinking about this last night, I was thinking about the number of people in our church family that are now with Jesus, that are no longer with us. I'm happy for them, but I miss them. I miss serving with them. Some of y'all just thought about names and faces and places and ministries and different things that have taken place. But it's a choice. That's contradictory to some theology that takes place today. And we got a lot going on, and I don't want you to be drinking from a fire hose today. So in just a minute, I'm going to shut it down, but I'm going to do so with you hopefully and prayerfully having some food for thought as you go away from here today about God's love, about salvation, and about redemption, about each and every one of us and where we stand with our Lord and Savior. Because there's something that I also have to bring up when it comes down to this passage, which is really kind of a cool thing. Remember, I've been talking about the character of God. Remember, I've been talking about the fact that the Lord presents us with a choice. We've heard the scriptures where he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Y'all know that passage? It says, if any man will open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he will be. It didn't say Jesus barged in, did it? It didn't say Jesus kicked in the door. It says he stands at the door and knocks. And that knock means he is awaiting an answer Today, let me make you a promise, whether you are here or whether you are watching online. Let me make you this promise. The Holy Spirit is present in your life right now. Saved or lost. Let me tell you why. If you're saved, you've got the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's your teacher. He speaks to you. But if you are lost, the Holy Spirit is standing at the door knocking. The question is, what will you do? Will you allow him to come in? That is what salvation's all about. Nowhere in the Bible does Jesus say, well, if you're a good choir member, you're going to go to heaven. Nowhere does it say, if you're a good preacher, you're going to go to heaven. Nowhere in the Word does it say, if you're a good church member, if you have perfect attendance. Nowhere does it say that. Nowhere in the Word of God does it say good people go to heaven. You know what it says in the Bible? Saved people go to heaven. Those who have trusted in Jesus, and it is a choice. And the Holy Spirit today is giving you a choice. If you already know him, great. We will celebrate together. But if you don't, I am begging you. All of heaven is begging you. You know, the Word says that there's rejoicing of all the saints in heaven over the saving of one soul. You've heard me say that before. The Word says it. All of heaven is rooting for you right now. They're going, insert your name. Come on, make the right choice. Make the right choice. Choose Jesus. Now, let me tell you something that may surprise you. All of hell is cheering for you to make the right choice as well. And you're going, well, where'd you get that from, preacher? Remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus? Remember it says the rich man died and it says he went to hell. It said that he could see Lazarus afar off in Abraham's bosom. In other words, he was seeing what was going on. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine being in hell and seeing all of the saints enjoying eternity? Boy, that's like sticking a knife in and turning it, isn't it? And the rich man said this. He said, you send Lazarus to tell my five brothers. Because I got five brothers. And they'll believe if they see one that came back from the dead. And remember what he was told. What he was told was this. He said, no. He said, your brothers have Moses and the prophets. If they won't hear them, they will not believe though one came back from the dead. You know what? If we bring that to this modern day, you know, it says this. It says you've got Roy and you've got David and you've got Paul and you've got all these people who are sitting here teaching you the Word of God. You've got them. If you won't hear them, and you won't heed the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't believe if a ghost came back and told you somebody, you know, from the other side. All of heaven is rooting for you to make the right decision today, and all of hell is rooting for you to make the right decision for Christ today. They don't want you to be where they are. Man, could you imagine how bad that would be? I believe that Satan is going to allow all the people in hell to see every opportunity they ever had to trust Jesus. And one of those is coming up. One of those is taking place right now. And behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now, I want to do something that's a little bit different because I think it's just, I always like to mention this when I'm in this particular passage. If you've got your Bible open, I want you to go back for just a moment, a few verses. I want you to go over to John chapter 3, verse 14. And now we're talking about salvation. We're in the New Testament, and then all of a sudden we get this reference about Moses. And it says in John 3, 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? That sounds cool. Now, if you've got a Bible that's a reference Bible, I want you to look at either a subscript or if you've got a column in the middle. And do you see a cross-reference there for an Old Testament passage? You see it? Trying to teach you a few things in that regard as well, okay? All right, if you do, it's going to point you over to an Old Testament passage of Numbers chapter 24, beginning with verse 5. Now, I'm going to just go ahead and read this for you. because it's going to make sense in just a moment. Numbers 21:5 and following says, "And the people spoke against God and Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our souls loathe this worthless bread." Remember, that's that manna that they were so glad to see. Now their soul loathes this worthless bread. Verse 6, "So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us.' So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live.' So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole, and so it was. If a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived." Now, I want to clarify some things. This was not bringing about idol worship. That is not what that's about. You see, what happened was, we get the gist of what's going on. The people had sinned. All of a sudden, there were snakes, poison snakes, biting people, that, and these people were dying. And they realized that they had spoken out against God, and they had spoken out against Moses. And they came and said, "Look, we're sorry. We messed up. We get it. Call off the snakes." So Moses prays to God. God relents for the snakes. But did you see what happened? Go to verse 8. "The Lord gave Moses something." I will read it to you, don't worry. Numbers 24:8 says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live.'" Here's why I'm bringing you to this particular point. Because it requires something from you and I. Think about this for a moment. Notice what he said in verse 8. It says, "And it shall be everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live." Did that not require an action on the part of the people? Yes. Do you think that as Moses did what he was supposed to do, and he fashioned that serpent and he put it out there, and somebody was walking down the path and they got bit by this snake, do you think that there were some of them that went back to their encampment and died? I do. Because they had a choice. You either go and you look. And by what is this all culminating around? Are you ready for it? Faith. In other words, is God going to do what he said he was going to do? God said, if I got bit by this snake, that if I would go and look upon the bronze serpent in faith, believing that God would heal me, that he would. That takes some faith to do, don't you? That's some real antivenom. You know what? It makes absolutely zero sense, doesn't it? But yet, it required faith. And it required action. If you were bitten by the snake, you had to go believing that God was going to do what he said he was going to do, look upon the serpent, and they lived. I guarantee you that there were a lot of them that did. But I also believe that there were some that were stubborn that wouldn't and died right in their camp. I believe that. Now, why do you think John 3:14 is there right before John 3:16? Well, I'm here to tell you, it's because salvation requires something from you. It requires you to open the door when Jesus is knocking. You're not just going to sit back and go, I felt a warm breeze blow across my neck last night, and the hair stood up on the back of my neck, and thanks be to God, I know I'm saved now. No. You see, salvation is a personal relationship. It's a one-on-one relationship. I was listening to an interview with a 1970s and following rock star. And he pointedly said, "I am a believer." He said, "I go to church, I worship, you know," and I'm sitting there going, I wonder what this is like. You know, we're quick to judge. But then I heard him lay out salvation biblically. I heard him lay out, you know, the fact that knowing Christ is about one-on-one, regardless of what everybody else says, thinks, feels, or believes. It's about my walk with a holy God. Wow. I was sitting there. And you know, most of the time you're looking for the theological errancies. You're looking for the crazy theologies that are out there today. And it wasn't there. I believe I'm going to see this guy in heaven. Now, I know some of y'all are out there going, I wonder who he's talking about. How many of y'all are wondering that? Who is that rock star? Come on, be honest with me. If you be honest with me, I'll tell you. Alice Cooper. And some of y'all are going, who is she? No, it's a he. But if you grew up and you're like most of us, you're a little rebellious in or around the 70s, you know who Alice Cooper is. And he is a professing, born-again believer, and he's laid it out better than most Christians I ever know in that interview. You might be living next to Alice Cooper in heaven. You never know. Folks, today I'm asking you to listen to the Holy Spirit. I'm asking you to heed his call today. And I'm telling you that a choice needs to be made on your part. As we embrace the transformative love of God, let us commit to sharing that love and grace with other people. This week, we need to intentionally engage in some acts of kindness and some words that are going to point people to Jesus. But for right now, let me tell you what needs to happen. You need to evaluate where you are spiritually. The Word has told us sin causes us to go to hell, but Jesus paid it all. But you've got to trust him. I've often likened salvation to a gift. If I took a package and a present, and I got a present, and I wrapped it up, and I said, hey, man, I got David and Donna a really cool present, and I'm excited about it, and I go over and go, David, look, I got you something. What is the next thing that needs to happen? David needs to take the package. What if he goes, oh, goody, goody, and takes off and goes the other way? I'm going. Listen, for some of you, Jesus has been chasing around with the gift of salvation for a lifetime. And he's going, here. I'm offering it to you. But you got to take it. And I will stand here, regardless of what theologies go around, and I will say to you that are in this room, to you that are watching online, that you are a whosoever will. Whosoever will may come. Salvation is for everyone. And I don't believe that some people are born to go to hell. I just can't buy that. That defies the character of God as written in his word. And I'm not going to say I'm sorry for it either. I'm tired of saying I'm sorry for believing in things that are biblical just because people don't believe the way I do. I'm showing you in the Word of God, so I'm not sorry. I've shared that with some of my colleagues before. Let's not make this hard, y'all. It's simple. Jesus Christ died for our sins, and we need to trust him, and we will see eternal life. The choice is simple. The choice is yours. And man, let me tell you, your life on this earth, I don't care. Some of y'all are in your 90s. That's a microcosm of a second compared to what eternity is going to be like. You're going to be with him a lot longer than you're going to be here. Make smart moves. Trust Christ. Brad, you guys come on up. Remember what I said a moment ago? I said, there's an opportunity. Well, guess what? Here's your opportunity. Yeah, there's nothing magical about you coming down here and praying with me. For those of you that are watching online, you don't have to speed over to the church and pray with the pastor. It doesn't have anything to do with the pastor. It has to do with you one-on-one. He's knocking on your heart's door. Are you going to say, Lord, today I'm going to let you come in? You know, if you want to do that, pray. I've always said prayer. See, that's that faith. Remember, they had to have faith and go look upon the serpent. We're saved by grace through faith. That not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Sometimes the simplest message is the one that needs to be heard. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. If he is calling you to salvation today, if you feel that conviction in your heart, I still remember a guy one time, he said, well, I felt this way for a long time, but I just thought it was rubbing off from the person beside me. He said it seriously. I'm like, no, Jesus has got good aim. If you want to trust him today, prayer is calling upon him. Prayer is a way to open that door. And you can simply say, Father God, I am a sinner. I know I'm on my way to hell. But thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank you for calling on me. Today, Father, I open the door and let you in. Lord, today I receive you as my Savior. Now help me to live for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now I can tell you that that is the start. You just opened the door and said, come in. Now, it's time to get to know Jesus. That's what discipleship's about. It's about getting to know him better. Listen, how do you get to know somebody? You spend time with them. How do you get to know the Lord? You spend time with him. Prayer, his word, so many other Christians. Boy, what a great opportunity. And I want to encourage you. The Lord also said this. He said, you know what? He said, I want my believers to follow. I command you, it's not a suggestion, a commandment, to follow in believers' baptism. That's representative of the death, the burial, and the resurrection, and what the Lord has done for each and every one of us. That is your public profession of faith. So we'll talk about it. If you've trusted Christ, listen, that's not if you should do it. It's you need to do it now. How do you do it now? You come let me know, and we celebrate together as a church. How many of y'all would love to see a baptism? Look, grinning and smiling. Yeah! Yeah, we get to celebrate because you're part of the family. What has the Lord spoken to you today? Have you followed him in believer's baptism? Maybe today you have just been I'm going to call it a channel Christian. You get in a channel and you just stay there. You're on cruise control. And we've just been going through the functions, and we have not really reminisced and gone back and remembered how Jesus paid it all. And if I was the only person on this planet, he still would have taken on himself what he took on for me. You see, that's part of the reason why the movie that was real big, Jim Caviezel, years ago, Passion, thank you. It was right there on the tip of my tongue. Thank you. Passion of the Christ. You see, that was why it was so impactful, because people could have a visual look at what Jesus did for them. Remember what he looked like when he was on his way to Calvary? Almost unrecognizable. And then to see that and to sit back and think, he did that for me? Yes. I think that's why it was so impactful, because it let us see something that we hadn't really seen before. We visualized it, and it made a huge difference. Some of you, the Lord's calling back home to be exactly what he's called you to be. Whatever the case is, now he is speaking to you. I'm going to encourage you that if you've trusted Christ today, please let us know. Listen, if you're online, let Dr. K know, Dr. Cazito. He'll be happy to share that with us. And we would love to be able to have this opportunity to share with you. Listen, I'm not going to put you out. I'm not going to put you in a 97-week Bible study or anything like that, but we want to help you along the way to grow in Christ. And I will promise you this, if it's not fun, you're not doing it right. I promise that. So I will ask you, hey, are you having fun as you're learning about the Lord? And if you don't tell me yes, then we got to find something else because we're not doing it right. But I promise, I can ask guys in this room, hey, you having fun learning about the Lord? It's great. Don't let old things crowd out your, come on. Yeah, it's not like we're not knocking on doors like Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons and that sort of thing. We should be, but bottom line is that's not what we're doing. We're growing in God's grace. Whatever the Lord's put on your heart, I'm here today for these next few moments. This altar is here. I'm begging you, do what God has placed in your heart to do. As we stand and sing our invitation hymn, number 315, Room at the Cross for You. And how, what a great selection, because that's just what we're talking about. There's room at the cross for you. Heads bowed, your eyes are closed as you think about that. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. And I pray that you find yourself at the foot of that cross today. I really, really do. As you continue to do business with God, I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Father, you are so, so very good to us. And Lord, you have given us so much in the way of provision. And I pray that today we truly recognize that it all comes from you. And then Lord, in your word, you've asked us to be faithful. Lord, not for any other reason other than you want to bless us. You've asked us to be faithful with what you've given us to return the tithe. So, Lord, I pray that we might truly be found faithful today as we return to you the tithe and the offering. May you bless it for your honor and glory. And, Lord, may you truly open the windows of heaven and pour forth a blessing that we cannot even be able to manage along the way because of our faithfulness. So, Lord, we do ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, thank you, Vicki. Let me give you a couple things, and then we'll move right along. I do want to mention birthdays that we have for this coming week. Today, Phyllis Anders celebrates her birthday. If you get a chance, be sure to love on Miss Phyllis. I know that that she would enjoy that. This coming Wednesday, you've got Dina Smith and Ernie Wall. Our very own Ernie back there at the soundboard will be having a birthday as well. This coming Wednesday, and then on Thursday, Paul Johansson will make another turn around the sun, as it were. So let these folks know how much you love them, you care about them. Also, anniversaries this week. On Tuesday, Kelly and Dan Wagner will be celebrating their anniversary. If you get a chance, drop them a line, a text, whatever we do in this day and age, and let them know that you're thinking about them. As far as the schedule of events for today, my D group meets at 3:30 in the next building. Choir rehearsal 4:45 right here in the sanctuary. Awana will be at its normal time, 5:30 to 6:30 over in the Family Life Center. And then, of course, there'll be adult Bible study with Pastor David down the hall there in room 5. So if you come in the front door, turn left, go down to room 5. And then at 7 o'clock or there, as whenever David gets done, 7-ish band practice right here in the sanctuary. Don't forget things that we have coming up this week. There is a building and grounds meeting tomorrow at 4:30 in the FLC room 116. And then Steve has his D-Life group at 6 o'clock on Monday as well. So in that same room. So if you're in the building and grounds meeting, remember, you'll be closing in on a discipleship group since you got the same room. Also, we've been mentioning that the Bethel Methodist Church every second Friday at 8:30 a.m. Has a breakfast that's free for veterans. If you're a veteran, you'd like to get you a free breakfast, 8:30 on the second Friday of every month over at Bethel Church on Hall River Road. Just to give you a couple of dates for the Ladies Connections, the monthly meeting is going to be April the 2nd, is that right? 4-2 in Fellowship Hall 116 at 4 o'clock. I thought that said a.m. for a minute. I thought y'all were getting an early start. 4 o'clock p.m. on the 16th for the Ladies Connections. And then the monthly breakfast will be on the 10th of next month at Cagney's on Friendly at 9 o'clock a.m. I do want to just mention that we are working on getting an updated prayer list. So all the individuals that are on our prayer list are going to be removed with the exception of like long-term and those that we know of that have cancer. So if you want somebody to be left on the prayer list, I'm going to let you know who to contact in just a minute. So don't get mad because we're taking them off. We'll put them right back on. But a lot of times what will happen is we'll put people on our prayer list and then we won't get updates. We've had people that have passed away on our prayer list for months. So we're trying to keep it up to date. And as a reminder, if you have an update on any of these prayer requests, please let us know. We look at it as a blessing to be able to take someone off of the prayer list because that means prayer's been answered. So please help us with that. Keep us updated. If there is somebody that you want, essentially the new prayer list will come out on March the 30th to coincide with the weekly email that Sylvia sends out to everyone. So if there's somebody you want to make sure stays on the prayer list, be sure to either talk to Debbie at the office or Sylvia or Tim can make sure that those go on there. So everybody good on that? Again, we're not trying to throw people off the prayer list. We don't want to, just let us know if somebody needs to stay on there. I do want to just mention that Jeff Pickard did have surgery this past week. They had to go in there, do some things in his back. They did have to replace some hardware and some various odds and ends. Jeff said that essentially when he woke up, he felt some relief. He has really been having a rough time with that back. He will be in the hospital for probably at least 2 more days. Before they'll let him come home and again start the recovery process. But I'm asking everybody, please pray for Jeff. That guy has just he has gone through so much in the way of pain over, and this is years. This is not something, it just seems like one hurdle after another. I know it's got to be discouraging, but we serve a God who is able. So I'm asking you to pray very, very special in a special way for Jeff Pickard, that this is going to alleviate the pain that he has and that he might be able to be back out serving the Lord, because I know that's his heart and I know that's what he wants to do. So is anything I've forgotten? There is something I forgot. I got you. I haven't forgot that as we're getting there. David's going to come up, send us off in a word of prayer. This is the day that we have our church conference. So what time do you want to?
10 minutes after the last
payment. Okay. At 12:10, if you need to take care of some business, do that. And if you are a church member, we invite you back. We got our business meeting that we need to take care of a couple of items. So, David, come on up, see us off in a word of prayer. At 12:10, we will start our conference. So if you're milling around, that's not David's fault, 12:10.
Let me just mention, too, that we begin today receiving our Annie Armstrong offering for North American Missions. That covers the United States, Mexico, and Canada. There are 386 million people living in that area. Speak 350 different languages, and 286 million of them are estimated to be lost. So it's a real ministry. Our Cuba ministry is also tied in with that because of ministry that we do. Begin praying about what you would do, want to do to be a part of that. We'll be taking this offering every Sunday till Easter Sunday morning. Let me lead you in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you that one day you reached down and touched us and called us to yourself, and we responded and you saved our souls, and we want to thank you and praise you for our salvation. But God, we realize that the majority of people in this world are still lost. Help us to share Jesus with folks everywhere we go, that others might know him and know him as Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.